Recently, we've had the pleasure of many people becoming members of Highlands Bible Church. We had a huge member class that just passed through everything. The elders have had joy and privilege in hearing the testimonies of people coming to faith and hearing their understandings of the gospel and encouraging them to jump in and serve. And we're going to have a chance to welcome them next week at the member meeting when we get together and we officially welcome, I think there's like 20-something people into membership. And so we're excited about that. We hold membership highly here. We hold the church highly here. So let's hold those two things work together because we believe it's thoroughly biblical and we covenant together to be on mission together. That God has called us to that. And so we as leadership covenant to the members that we will provide you with the solid teaching and the leadership and the authenticity and good programs, I hate to use that word, but programs in order to grow, like Bible studies and care groups and things. And the members covenant to us that, yes, I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to change. I want to be more like Jesus. The church is not a building. I say that a lot. It's a gathering of the saints, Jesus Christ. It is people who are like-minded and believers that come together, that are on mission together. We do the things that God has commanded us to do, and in so doing, we grow and we change more into the image of Jesus Christ. We live fruitful lives. We live worshipful lives. We live joyful, fulfilled lives as we strive together to be on mission together. And as we've been talking about missions, how does that work? What role does the church play and church membership play in fulfilling the mission that Jesus has given us? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be over in Matthew again. We're going to finish up our mission series today. We've enjoyed spending 3 weeks together talking about the mission of the church and what is missions. Lots of people have different ideas when we talk about missions. I shared with you all the very first week my own fear and trepidation when I was a child and the pastor would get up there and talk about missions. And I was afraid we were going to move to Africa and I would leave all my friends. That did not happen. Instead, God made me a church planting pastor. So he got me into missions somehow anyway. And recall that we've been building on our definition of missions week by week, and we're going to finish that off today. We said last week that our mission is the proclamation of the gospel to all people. And we got that right from our passage, that Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. But as we bring things to a close this week, we're going to look at how that happens. We're going to look at the how. As we have been, we're going to go back to our foundational passage here in Matthew 28. I'm going to read that for us, and that'll get us going. So Matthew 28, starting at verse 16. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Look at some of these action words in this passage. He says, go. He says, make disciples. He says, baptize them. He says, teach them. And so question, where typically do those things happen? You know, like, where do we typically teach on a weekly basis that I stand up here in a place and preach? Where do we typically baptize people? Where do we typically teach the young kids downstairs right now at this very moment who Jesus is, what he did, and why it matters? It happens in the church. The church is the context for all of these things. Jesus isn't giving this command to Lone Ranger cowboys to go off on their own and do this. He's giving this command to us as the church. The gathering of the saints, those committed to the mission. We do all of these things that Jesus is instructing here primarily, and in the case of baptism, I will say exclusively in the context of the church. The church is God's ordained entity for how the Great Commission is achieved in Matthew 28. We set ourselves up under God's word, under biblically qualified leadership, to preach the word regularly for the building up of the church, to make and to mature disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. He gives baptism to the church, and only to the church, as an ordinance of the church with the Lord's Supper. It's kind of like the bookends of where we are. Baptism welcomes us into the faith, right? We publicly declare who we are in Jesus Christ. And then the Lord's table is the continual renewal of that, the recommitment, the identification of who the church is. He gives those things to the church for the mission. He's given us the Holy Spirit, as John 14 tells us, to teach us all things and to remind us all things that I have spoken to you, to empower us on our mission. This command applies to us as the church today. And for no other reason, we can look at it. It says, I am with you always to the end of the age. These were disciples. These were mortal men. In other words, they died, right? So how could he be with them until the end of the age? He's with them because he's with us. He's with us as the church. We are the continuation of the church, the New Testament covenant church in Christ's blood. And church, he promises to be with us as we fulfill this mission for the rest of this age. He promises that to us. And so let's round out the definition of missions here this week by saying this: our mission is to proclaim the gospel to all people through the local church. The mission is to proclaim the gospel to all people through the local church. In his helpful little book on missions, Andy Johnson simply puts it this way: the local church is the engine of world missions. The local church is the engine of world missions. Another author puts it this way: the church is God's plan A to fulfill his mission. We are God's plan A. We are the engine for world missions. And sometimes it's like weird. We can think about that. It's like, nah, we're just in Vernon. We're just here by ourselves in this little Sussex County microcosm. No, we have such a greater calling. And that comes through us, church, to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ. Paul says it clearly himself in Ephesians 3. I put that in your bulletins this morning. Ephesians 3, 8 through 10. He says this, one of my favorite passages. I know I say that for every passage. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles, right? Even the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Watch this. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. It's through the church. Paul says it. We are proclaiming the gospel, the power of God to salvation. And he says it's our job, all of us, not just the missionaries out on the field, right? We're all called to mission. And we try and do this in the philosophy of how we do missions here at Highlands. That's why we strive to be a church with a high view of the church. We value the church. We want to do things like the Bible calls us to, like church leadership that's biblical and qualified, like things to grow and hold each other accountable, even in some awkward things like church discipline, because it's important. We learned that back in 1 Corinthians 5, right? The purity of the church is important. That's why, because it all works together. That's why we long for all churches to preach the gospel. And side note, I've been challenged by a few of you to pray for other churches in Vernon. And we have been. And one of our elders in particular is very passionate about praying for other churches. And I think he's got something going on, because we see changes slowly in some of these other churches that are returning to preach the Bible. Praise God. We strive to be a church that holds other churches up in prayer. We strive to be a church that plants other churches. We want to plant other churches. That's why we're in things like the Acts 29 Network. We share that common mission with them. That's why we allocate a lot of our missions budget to church planting in the United States and worldwide, because we understand this. We hold it dear. That's why we value pastoral training, raising up pastors and church planters who will go, who will make and mature disciples of all nations. That's why when we assess missionaries, we want them to be men and women of solid biblical grounding. We want them to have a connection to the church Understand that. And I want to spend the rest of our time together by busting that out into three practical areas for us how to do that. The church seeks missionaries, it sends missionaries, and it sustains missionaries. First, the church seeks missionaries. In care group last week, we started off by talking about the unfinished task of the Great Commission, right? How we looked at that, the 1040 window there, where so many billions of people are without a gospel witness, without the Bible, without churches. And several of us in small group commented on how hard that was, how heavy that is. We should think about that. And it is heavy. And we're staring at that 1040 window and so many people dying without the hope of Jesus. It's heavy, it's convicting, it should be. And that's part of what God is doing through the preaching of his word. That's why in the local church we preach the word. That's my job, to pass on conviction to you. Right? I'm only doing what hits me first. Then I just pass it on to you. And we fulfill our mission by seeking missionaries. The elders would be downright excited and giddy if one of you came to us and said, hey, when you were talking about the 1040 window and all those really ugly dark places, something happened and I don't know. Maybe I want to go. Maybe I want to help in some way. We pray that stuff like that happens. Maybe there's something else I can do that I'm not doing now. One author puts it this way: churches are where faithful missionaries are made. Churches are where faithful missionaries are made. There's a virtual help wanted sign up in our church at all times. Because why? Because the field is ready for harvest, right? And the workers are few. So there's always a help wanted sign that's hanging up in church. We need people to do that. We're seeking missionaries, church planners, people who support the missionaries with IT, with logistics, with project management, with software, with all of that stuff. Young married couples and retired couples and singles to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and go share the message of salvation and restoration in Jesus. And in a sense, that's our job, and that's the way that it should be. The church is the way that missionaries are made aware of this. I saw some of your faces last week when we talked about how many people don't have access to the gospel. It's shocking. That's how we do it. We make you aware. That's why the church seeks missionaries. And the church is also uniquely positioned to assess initially. And once again, Andy Johnson's book on missions, it's a 9 marks book. If you're looking for a good short read on missions, we found it very, very helpful. 3 areas that he says that we can look at: character, fruitfulness, and biblical knowledge. And who better than the local church to know that? Who better than to know the character of someone than someone we know well? Someone we're in small group with and neighbors with, and someone that we pray with, and some people that we do life with. Do they have a passion for evangelism now? If they're not telling their friends and neighbors about Jesus, they're not going to do it in the 1040 window. Right? Do they value the local church? Are they plugged in? Are they part of the community? Do they understand what that means? These are the kind of things that the church, and only the church, is uniquely qualified to assess, to see. Right? This should be like Ephesians 4, where we equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what it's about. And the actual process of going is the second part of how we do that. We don't only seek missionaries, but we send missionaries. If someone has a conviction to get into mission work and the initial assessments are good, we'd work with them to send them into the field to help find a place for them to actually go. We help men and women fulfill that calling that they are feeling. We want to provide a way for them to serve. We aim to hook people up with sending organizations or whatever it takes to get people where they need to go. And I think this is, again, where some clarification is needed. Because sometimes you think about missionaries and you think about like a Lone Ranger, like it's some sort of tractor beam, like God just, you know, takes Stacy and sucks her out and she goes to Zimbabwe and we never see her again. That's not what we're talking about. That would make us very sad, by the way. We never see her again. It's not like a Lone Ranger like calling up a missions organization and she's gone. You work with the local church to send well. And to do those things. Missionaries are not lone rangers. They can't be. And this is part of our DNA. How is it part of our DNA? Because we were sent. we were sent from Green Pond Bible Chapel up here. Well, technically, we already lived here. But we were sent to plant a church here. And so that's why even Mel referred to it as our sending church. They will always have a place in our hearts that is special because they sent us. We want to send more. Maybe to the wilds of Branchville or something. I don't know. Right? We want to plant, because there's a lot of you people from Branchville. It's scary. I know. We want to send out people to plant churches, to do these things. It's the consistent theme in all of the New Testament. Look no further again to our friend the Apostle Paul, who we'll get back to next week in 1 Corinthians. Probably all your Bibles have those little maps back there that you look at when the sermon gets really boring, right? You start to look at first and second missionary journeys, and you're like, wow, he traveled a lot. Let me tell you, travel was not like it is today, right? This is like he's having shipwrecks. He's like starving to death, right? People are dying all around him. It took months and months. Paul was sent. It's the obvious part. And also with his personal danger, there was that sweetness of that sacrifice. I was just reading in my yearly read. We got off to Acts, and that scene where Paul is with the elders on the beach. And he's saying, guess what, guys? I'm going to Jerusalem. And they say, really bad plan. They tried to kill you like three times. Remember the last time? We thought you were dead. But then somehow you weren't, and then you wanted to go back into the city to continue preaching again. No, you're not going. He says, no, I'm going. I have to go. He says, the Holy Spirit, good news. The Holy Spirit told me that nothing but trial and hardship and danger awaits me. So I'm going. And there's that scene in Acts 21 where they're kneeling down together, and they're crying, and they're weeping, and they're holding on to him, and they're praying. And he says, I gotta go. I'm going. It's the consistent theme of the New Testament. The church sends missionaries. When we send out missionaries, we want to send them out well. We don't want to send them out having overwhelming needs while they're trying to proclaim the gospel. So we not only seek them, we not only send them, but we sustain them. In the book of 3 John, which is about half a page long, in verses 5-8, talks about this very thing. It says, beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way, on their journey, watch this, in a manner worthy of God. For they've gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers in the truth. You know, we want to send out mission. We want to send them out well, as John says here, in a manner worthy of God. We don't want our missionaries to be worried about where their next meal is going to come from. We want to help. We want to help in a real, tangible way. And of course, that's the first way you might think of, is financially. We aim to support missionaries so that they have what they need for their work. We support those missionaries with a strong connection to the local church as accomplishing what they're called to do, right? And so again, when you give to a church like Highlands, you're giving to missionaries. And that's part of where you trust biblical leadership to say, okay, I'm giving my money, now use this to go preach the gospel. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to be faithful to do that. So when you give, it's not just for us. It's for the spread of the global mission. We're entrusted as elders to allocate that sacrificial giving accordingly to fulfill the mission of the preaching of the gospel to all peoples. But we also want to be sustaining our missionaries spiritually and relationally. Right? Everybody thinks about financially, and that's okay. Yes and amen. We have to do that. But what about spiritually? What about praying for our missionaries? What about adding the missionaries to your family prayer time or to your regular prayer list? What about praying for more missionaries? What about praying for the spread of the gospel around the world, which we did last week? Right? Spiritually, we want to support them. Like the Parsons, the Mary Lou, Today's Choice, My Brother's Place. Add those people to your prayer times. The mission is not accomplished without prayer, but also sustain them relationally. Get on their email lists. See what they're doing. when they come around, which they will, Sam and Maureen will probably be here in September or so, make it a point to see them. Have them over your house. Talk to them. Ask them how you can pray for them. Send them emails. The Parsons live in Orlando. They will give a tour of Wycliffe. When you go see the mouse, you can stop over there and you can go see them as well, right? Some of us have actually done that. Again, we have local missionaries here as well. Today's Choice, my brother's place. Support them relationally. Talk to Lori. Talk to Alyssa. Talk to Doreen. See what they do. Ask them how you can pray for them. Ask them how you can help. Sustain them in that way. You can get very lonely out there when you're doing it yourself, right? You can be misunderstood. Reach out to them. It's our job to sustain them. And so, church, our mission is completely clear. And I hope that you have seen that through these last three weeks. It's to proclaim the gospel to all people through the local church. We seek missionaries, we send missionaries, and we sustain those missionaries. But there's a much bigger reason why we engage in missions work at all. And that's why we've got to connect it to a deeply personal reason of why we should care. And frankly, that's the thing. I remember sitting there as a kid, and I remember sitting there as a 20-something. It's like, okay, I get it. But why should I care? Let's just boil it down. Why should I care? I have enough going on in my life right now. Why should I care what's going on over there? John Piper, in his groundbreaking book on missions, if you want to read another good book on missions, Let the Nations Be Glad, he says this. This is the first line of the book. This is like, everybody reads that book is like, what? They instantly tweet it. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Think about that. Our goal is not just to send missionaries out and, you know, seek them and send them and sustain them. Our goal is worship. Our goal is that there are people all around the world that don't know that there's a king and don't know that they're separated from this king because of sin and don't know that that king provided a way for them to be healed and forgiven and restored and reconciled. And they don't know that his name is Jesus. Maybe they look around the world like Romans 1 says and they know for a second that there's a God. You look at creation, you can know that there's a God. But they don't know how to get to him. They don't know how to fulfill this longing in their heart that something's messed up, this something that this world can't fulfill. And until somebody tells them that it's Jesus, they're not going to know. We're created to be worshipers. All of us were created as continual outpourers. The question is not if we're going to worship. The question for every single person on this planet is what they will worship. And we see it all around. See people worshiping their jobs, their careers, their status, their families, whatever it is, right? It's got to be directed to the one who created us, which is our great God. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. And because not everybody is a worshiper of God, nor can they be right now, that's why we have missions. That's why we need missions. God has made worship possible. The good news of the mission is that worship is possible because Jesus has come. The good news of what God has done for us in Jesus. Because without that, we remain separated from God forever. That's why we go. That's why we do any of this. That's why we should care. And if you don't care, pray that you would. That's one of those dangerous prayers. I think there's probably like a couple prayers that we pray right away that God is just an instant yes. God, give me a burden for those who don't know you. Give me compassion for those people that don't know you. No problem. Right? Other dangerous prayers. God, show me my sin. That's always a good one, right? That's an instant yes. Show me where I'm prideful, right? Convict me. He's like, no problem. Got a conviction prayer right away. Going to answer that one immediately. Right? That's one of those things. If we don't feel that, pray for that. And watch what happens. See how much you start seeing these relationships of these people that you see every single day change. That little thing in your heart's like, yeah, but pray for that. The mission of our church and all the churches is clear. We proclaim the gospel to all people through the local church. That's why we value things like church membership. That's why we value things like member meetings and being together and holding each other accountable. That's why we have a shepherding, I was going to say program again. I keep looking for another word other than program. That's why we have shepherds that shepherd the members that say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? Can we pray for you? Can we help you? How can you grow? Because we want everybody engaged in the mission. We exist to proclaim the gospel to all people through the local church. Let's consider these things. Let us be compelled by these things for the glory of God and the whole earth. Let's pray for the success of this. Let's pray for our own hearts and conviction of that. And let's pray for God to be glorified in all of it. God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you that you have given us the church. Lord, it's your church. But Father, you have entrusted us with it. You have called us to be faithful. And I pray that we would be. Lord, for the leaders of this church, for the elders, for the deacons, for the ministry leaders, for the shepherds, God, call us to biblical faithfulness. Help us to be diligent in that. Would we pursue our own personal walks with you above all else? Would we all be examples to one another, God? And Father, for this task that we have been looking at for the last 3 weeks, the task of missions, God, let us see that we are all connected to this mission. That's not something that happens far away from us. It happens right here with the people that are in this room. In the way that we give to the missions efforts in our time and in our prayers and in our energy, Lord, in our relationships. But Father, would you please raise up more people? Would you raise up more church planters, more pastors, more people to go in the name of Jesus and bring a cup of cold water where there are people that need it? God, more people that want to spread the message that there is a king and his name is Jesus, and through faith in him you can be reconciled and worship can happen. We pray for success in all of those areas, God. We pray for your enabling, your powering, your convicting, whatever that is. We pray for your encouragement for those who do it every day. May we see that we are all on mission. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.